Deuteronomy 22, God says, "Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together." Now, anybody that knows Brother Ray knows that he's a computer programmer, and everything with him is yes or no. It's black or white. It's not maybe. It's not wishy-washy. So he's reading his Bible faithfully, and he gets to this, and he's like, "That doesn't compute." It doesn't. I mean, how many people can sit here, raise their hand right now, and say, "I can totally understand why God says that you cannot wear a garment that's 50% linen and 50% wool"? It doesn't seem to compute. It doesn't seem to make sense. And so, you know, he said to himself, he said, "Lord, you don't do things by accident. And everything you do is perfect. And there's got to be a reason, and I have no clue what that reason is. It just doesn't add up. But I'm going to search it out because I know God's right." And I want to step back for a second and I want to say that no matter what's going on in life, you have to understand that God knows the right and he wants to point us to the right. And when people are hurting and people are, you know, despairing and stuff, this is where you turn. You turn to him. You turn to him in reading and you turn to him in prayer. And, you know, it reminds me of Job. When people are in despair, I mean, Job lost all his kids in a day, his whole family except for his wife. He lost all his wealth and all his cattle. It was stolen by his worst enemy, right? And then he lost his health. Most people, that's the most precious thing. He lost his health. His whole flesh was full of boils and sores. And then his wife adds on to the whole pile and says, "Well, why don't you just curse God and die?" And what did Job do? He went and he worshiped. That's what he did. And you know what? When you're hurting, when things are tough, then you worship God. That's what you do. And what did God do for Job? He blessed him, right? So let's dig in. Let's take a look at this. So I want you to turn in your Bible to Ezekiel 44 and keep yourself there for a minute. So God says that you cannot have a garment of linen and wool. I mean, you got cotton polyester stuff at home, I'm sure, right now, right? I'm sure you've got some stuff with wool in it at home right now. I'm sure, in the closet. But God says no linen and no wool together. And when God says no, he means no. There's a reason. So here in Ezekiel 44, verses 17 and 18, the Bible says, "And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be," it's talking about the priests, "they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them, whilst they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have the linen bonnets upon their heads, and shall have linen breeches, like pants, upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causeth," what? Sweat, right? Now, sweat is found three times in the Bible. You find it back in Genesis chapter 3 when they have to sweat to work for their bread from the ground. You find it here in Ezekiel chapter 44. And if you'd keep your finger in Ezekiel 44 and turn with me to Luke 22. In Luke 22, you're going to find the last time of sweat. It's only mentioned three times in the whole Bible. And in Luke 22, just by chance in verse 44, the Bible says, "And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly," speaking of Jesus, "and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." This is in the Garden of Gethsemane before he goes to the cross of Calvary. And Jesus knows exactly about what's going to happen. He knows he's going to that cross. He knows that he's going to be whipped and scourged. He's going to have a crown of thorns on his head. They're going to mock him and spit in his face. They're going to rip his beard right off his face, and they're going to nail him to that cross. No man wants to face that. And it wasn't even for anything that he did. It was for what we did. Me, you. It's what we did. That's why he went. And here it is, his sweat in the Garden of Gethsemane. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So we see, if you'd flip back with me to Ezekiel 44, you see that the Lord sweat for us. He did that work of Calvary's cross for us, for our sin. And back here in Ezekiel 44, it's really clear that when the priests are serving God in the temple, they shall be clothed with linen garments, no wool shall come upon them, and they shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. You know why? Because, well, wool is on sheep, but the reason why they have to wear linen and something that causes no sweat is because it's no sweat serving God. It's no sweat serving God. When you go out in the street and you preach the gospel, it's pretty simple, it's pretty easy. When you go out there and you'll hold a sign, is that hard work? Are you getting blisters holding a sign out there? I don't think so, right? If you go and you tell your neighbor about the goodness of God, are you like getting a backache over it? Is it hard work? Are you sweating to death doing it? Not at all. The gospel is a good message. He's a good God, and it's no sweat serving God. It's no sweat to serve, hand out some tracts and tell people about God's goodness, right? And warn them about what they're facing. It's no sweat. So we wear the linen. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, we see the saints. And the saints are the saved Christians. Revelation 1:6, the Bible says, "And he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So God says that he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. So as Christians, born-again Christians, if we're kings and priests and we're not supposed to sweat, then I guess we wear the linen, right? Now you're going to find this if you turn to Revelation chapter 5. Verse 10, it says, "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." You'll find it again in Revelation chapter 20, but I'm going to move on. I want to go all the way to Revelation 19. In Revelation 19, verse 7, this is talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the Bible says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife," that's his bride, that's us, "hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Yeah, his righteousness, right? That's the only righteousness we have. And then I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6, Gospel of John. Chapter 6. And while you're turning there, think about this. We're kings and priests. And the kings and the priests in the Old Testament, they wear the linen. And in the New Testament, in Revelation 19, you see the kings and the priests, you see them wearing the linen. The saints are wearing the linen. The bride's wife is wearing the linen, right? In John chapter 6, verse 29, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." I don't think anybody's ever sweat doing that. No sweat. It's no sweat to get saved. And it's no sweat to serve God. And I don't know if any of you have come across this, but there's a clip going around on the internet. I just bumped into it by accident. It was an old clip, had to have been more than 20 years old, of Pastor Peter Ruckman. And he had drawn the cross with the two thieves on either side. And you've got the one thief that cried out to Jesus and asked him to that he would take him with him. And then the other thief didn't want anything to do with him, right? And Pastor Ruckman said, "You know, you look at either one of those thieves. That one thief, he got saved because Jesus said, 'Today thou shalt be with me in paradise.' And you know where the other thief went. He went to hell because he rejected Christ, right? But if you look at either one of those two thieves on either side of the cross, This thief got, he might have gotten baptized. That thief might have gotten baptized. Didn't make any difference, did it? This one might have gotten confirmed, and that one might have gotten confirmed, but it didn't make any difference either way, did it? Right? Whatever kind of work they did, doesn't matter. He might have joined a church. He might have been joined to the same church, but they didn't go to the same place, right? And so you don't know what they've all done, but they sure weren't in the middle. And only the thief who repented and cried out to the Lord for mercy, he's the only one who got saved. And so Pastor Peter Ruckman was making the point. He says, are you saved? It happens in a moment of time. It doesn't happen from baptism, from confirmation. It doesn't happen from some work that you can do, from some sweat, some kind of work that you can do. Not your goodness, but that it happens in a moment of time. And if you get saved, if you're saved, that happened in a moment of time. Not by your righteousness, his righteousness. So, just like brother you were saying before about the wool, who wears the wool? Well, let's look in the Bible about who wears the wool. And actually, before I get to that, we should take a look at men first before we go past that. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51 in verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up. What's that? Verse 7, righteousness. The moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them up like wool. But my righteousness, that's the Lord, shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Okay? So, man's work will be consumed. Like it says, like with the moth. It's going to be consumed. And while you're in Isaiah, turn to Isaiah chapter 64. Makes it a little more clear even. Isaiah 64, verse 6. You've all heard this verse before. The Bible says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So our righteousness really doesn't stand for anything, and our righteousness are as filthy rags. And the question gets to the point here, well, who wears the wool? And you see that who wears the wool is the Lamb, right? John the Baptist came proclaiming Jesus and saying, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And so if you see from what we saw in Revelation that there's the kings and the priests and they wear the linen when they're serving God, and it's no sweat serving God, right? So the kings and the priests, they're wearing linen. But Jesus is the Lamb and he's wearing the wool. And you understand the difference between God's righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, his righteousness compared to our righteousness. I don't think God wants us to mix the two, okay? You can't mix the righteousness of God and the righteousness of men. And if linen represents the righteousness of men and wool represents the righteousness of God, there is no mingling of the two. And so when God said that back in the book of Deuteronomy, and you scratch your head sometimes reading some of that Old Testament stuff, and you say, why, Lord? Why would you say such a thing? He says it because he means it. He says it because it has importance and it has meaning. It's just that we don't get it all. But you know what? This came up in the radio show the other day. We were talking about Abraham. You think Abraham understood everything? He didn't. He didn't know exactly what was going on when the Lord said, take thine son, thine only son Isaac, and go offer him on Mount Moriah. Well, we find out in Hebrews chapter 11 that God said, let's take a look there. We'll go there in Hebrews chapter 11. We find out more in the New Testament because more light is shed on it later. In the case of Abraham, he didn't have the book of Hebrews. So what he did was he went by faith, and he trusted. He trusted that God was going to work it out, right? And here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, speaking of Abraham, it says, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He didn't know what God was going to do. He didn't know. He just knew he didn't want to do it, but he had to trust God, right? And so same thing for us. We just need to trust God. So I know this is one of Pastor Ed's favorite verses, and it really hits on this about the fact of our righteousness, and it's not of works, it's not by sweat, right? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? So it's not of works, and there's no works that we can do to please God other than to believe and to be faithful. And so I'd like to stop here just for a second and stop and consider. Ask yourself a question. Do you think that Abraham is the only one who gets tested by God? If you fill your name in the blank, do you think that God tests you? That he tests me? That he tests Pastor? Of course he does. And he wants us to see us. He wants to see us faithful. He wants to see us just like Father Abraham. And it's not easy. But you know what? When times get hard, you turn to him. When times get hard, you get on your knees and you pray to him. When times get hard, you come to church and you worship him. Right? That's the way it is. Let's take a look in Revelation chapter 1 and let's look upon Jesus, the one who wears the wool. In Revelation chapter 1, we see the Lord come forth. And I find this is changed in the modern Bibles in verse 8 of Revelation 1, where it's words of red, but they claim this is not Jesus speaking, but it is. The Bible says in verse 8, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. That's our Lord. He is the Almighty. That's Jesus Christ. Now back up just a little bit. Take a look. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We're going to go ahead to verse 12 through 14 and consider that it's the Lamb of God with the wool. Verse 12, Revelation 1. And I turned, that's John, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, that's Jesus, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, his head. Now careful about this, pay attention. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Think about that. I remember Brother Ray Nagel talking about this. I'll never forget. He says, do you realize on his head and his hairs, it's white as wool. It grows right out of him. His righteousness, the wool represents his righteousness. It comes from the inside, and it's coming right out of him. That's his hair, right? His head and his hairs were white like wool. That's God's righteousness coming from the inside out. That's his righteousness. And that's the righteousness of the Son. Let's take a look in the Bible and check out the righteousness of the Father. Turn to Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. I think it's a blessing to know that when you come across a really hard verse like this thing in Deuteronomy 22, 11, no garment and wool together, no garment that's blended, and it doesn't seem to make any sense, and you just say, well, Lord, I'm just going to have to trust you. It doesn't make sense. I mean, there's other verses like when you're eating meat, you can't have milk, right? And the Jews get it. I've talked to Jews about that, and they're like, what, you don't get that? How come you don't get that? Right? But that's not how I grew up. So I just have to trust. God knows best. So here we are in Daniel chapter 7, and in verse 9, Daniel says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, that's the Father, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. I got to go on just a bit. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. You know, we've got time right here, right now, to open this book, right? And get to know our Lord a little bit better and help other people come to our Lord before the time is up, to redeem the time, because obviously people are hurting. Obviously, if they're hurting that much, they're looking for some place to turn, some place for answers. Well, you've got the answers. All you have to do is speak up. You know who doesn't want you to speak up? Satan. Satan doesn't want you to speak up. And in these days, it's time to stop being wishy-washy about, well, maybe this, maybe that. You know what? All this stuff that's not of God, it's ungodly. And so I ran into, by accident again, actually Brother Kevin Deegan sent me something yesterday, and it's a pastor who does some missionary work in Kenya, and he wears a sweatshirt that says, Doctrine Matters. I love that. Doctrine matters, right? Yeah. And he says, you know what? All this stuff that you think is kind of wishy-washy ungodly, no, it's ungodly. He says, all the entertainment that in your head you think, well, I'm not sure about this. Is this? No, it's ungodly. It's ungodly. Your consciousness is telling you that it's ungodly and it's not righteous, and you know it, but somehow you just want to ignore the fact that it really is ungodly, right? And he actually drew a chart. This missionary drew a chart, and he, at the bottom of the chart, it had Satan. And he goes, you know, Satan doesn't show up looking like Satan. You know, he's got all these other layers in between you and him. And some of those layers are things like the occult. And you say, well, I'm not going to get into that kind of stuff, even though you see people that do. We passed a car coming here just a few minutes ago that said witch on the license plate. Like they're proud of it. They're proud of it, right? So you've got the occult. And then you've got the Far Eastern religions. You know what? It's ungodly. It's ungodly. And anything like yoga or any of that ungodly stuff that's associated with it, it's ungodly, right? And then you go up the line, and I'm trying to remember what his chart said, but there was Satan, there was Eastern religions, there's the occult, and then there's the New Age movement, which comes from the occult, which gets into the church, right? Gets into the new modern Bibles. I mean, why would you want to be part of anything ungodly? There's a difference, and God says put a difference between the holy and the unholy, between the profane, and I forgot the other word. But the point is, he gets up to false churches. And you've got false churches that have another gospel, whether they're trying to feed the poor or whatever it is, but it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ that we're sinners and he's the Savior and you need a Savior and you need to get saved, right? And there has to be a day of salvation when you've asked God and you got saved. And he said all these things, whether it's false churches and all these things that are going to get wrapped together, they're all ungodly, and you want to separate. And so let's take a look in Isaiah. I'm going to end up here. Isaiah chapter 1. So in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, this is a great verse. God says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Yeah, because God wants to give you his righteousness, if you'll only ask, right? And if you consider this whole thing that we've been, this little study that we've been looking at, it says that we will be as wool, but we're going to be wearing the linen. So our sins, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so serving God is easy. Just remember, the priests wear the linen. And next time, I know Brother Bill Eubanks used to say this all the time, the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost would nudge him and say, Bill, you need to go talk to that person. and he'd feel a little nudge, like he knew he should go do something. He's like, no, no, I don't have time for this. I got to get going, or whatever. He would try to make an excuse. But he was pretty faithful to follow that nudge. And when the Lord nudged him, he would say, okay, I got to go give that person a track. I got to go talk to that person. The time is now, right? And so just remember, when you're serving God, even though it seems like it's a hard task, you're wearing linen. It's no sweat. It's no sweat serving God. And the fact about this verse, if you go back with me to Deuteronomy and take a look again, just to put your eyes upon it. Deuteronomy 22, it's easy to find, verse 11. And by the way, if somebody ever comes up to you on the street and says, hey, you know, the Bible is confusing and the Bible has goofy stuff in it that doesn't make sense, and you say, well, show me. And if they bring you to a verse like this and you don't know the answer, if you don't know the answer right there and then, the first thing I would do is pray. Be instant in prayer. Ask the Lord to help. I can tell you he's helped me. I'll stand here and testify. He has helped me multiple times when somebody has come to me with a full head of steam and they are upset about something, or they think, oh, I got you on this one, right? I'm not looking to debate you anyways. But I'm instant in prayer, and I ask the Lord, show me. And then I take a minute and I let them explain. And if the Lord shows me, I'll give them an answer immediately and say, look, this glorifies God, right? And if he doesn't give me an answer right away, I'll say, well, give me a little bit of time, and I'll look into it, and I'll get back to you. And then make sure you're faithful and get back to that person. Keep the communication going. But here we are. We're back in Deuteronomy 22:11. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, as of woolen and linen together. Whenever you come across something like that in your reading, whatever it may be, something that you don't understand today, please remember that God is testing you. He's testing you. He wants to know, are you going to trust him? Whatever comes up, are you going to pray to him? Are you going to stay with him? Are you going to stay by him? Are you going to worship him? Okay? So I guess that's all I got for today, and that's not even my message. It's Brother Ray's message, but I hope it was a blessing to you, and I hope that when you run into a trial, when God puts some pressure on you, that you will remember this and remember that really it's no sweat serving God. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Yes. Not right next to your skin. You know, I've got some wool sweaters at home from the UK, and I love those wool sweaters, but I sure don't want to wear them right next to my skin. Amen.